Well, welcome everybody. As you can see, we're in a little different formation tonight. Feels good to be in a circle. What we thought was that I would present a few ideas coming out of our service time on Sunday and just other things that are happening, and then open it up and we'd have a collective dialogue. So to remind you, the theme on Sunday had to do with education. And there are four of us that spoke. We're involved in an educational project here. We don't usually talk about it in quite those terms, but that's what FSE is, Full Self Emergence. It is a kind of education, for sure. It's a core kind of education, foundational piece of education. We do other educational things here, and you might describe Sunrise Ranch as a learning community. It's a learning community that revolves around a teaching and a message. Fair enough? There's something we offer in the way of a teaching, and then there's a message that's dropped into the space. And in some way, we all get a chance, if we would like over time anyway, to participate both in the learning part and also in dropping in the message and bringing the teaching. So I like to think we all take responsibility for all of that, understanding that the weight of different parts of that fall on different people. Recently, as we were sharing on Sunday, and as I shared, I think, in the ranch-wide sessions, we've undertaken to design an online platform for education, and it's called Regeneration Earth. And a number of us have been real busy about visioning what that is. And then this past weekend, I was up in Vancouver with Rachel Morrison, to visit with Adil of Unify and his partner Kayla. And we were talking about all things educational and educational platforms and just looking at how we might collaborate together to do something online in this area. So I want to invite you to see Sunrise Ranch through that lens tonight. There are other lenses to see it through, but I invite you to see this place as a place that is about education. And not to take the education that we offer and slot it into spiritual education or something like that, but just to think of it as primal education, meaning it's education that is about the most primal things in the human experience. It seems to me that all the other education that we ought to be about as human beings ought to be integrated into the things that we're seeking to invite people into through full self-emergence and our primal spirituality courses. Because if you think about it, what we're talking about has to do with an understanding of oneself, one's relationship to the source of your own life, to understand your own makeup, understand your own coming forth and your own healing, and then to understand all that about other people, and then how we fit together. It seems to me that those are the foundational elements of education for anybody's life, onto which all other education should be put. And everything else we learn, it should somehow go back to that. And then if you don't have that, you have no integrator. You have random bits of knowledge used for useless purposes. If you don't know who you are and what you're doing and how you're made, then all the information you get, what do you do with it? Where do you put it? There's no unifying factor. So we're interested in bringing people to an awareness of the unifying factor. The root of education is said to have to do with drawing forth. So around here, we do some teaching, but it's with the intention of drawing forth native understanding, primal understanding, primal connection, and not about stuffing things in. So, that's all by way of introduction, and I want to bring in another piece that is in a similar vein. So, I quoted Karen on Sunday, and something she said in our planning session. So we had a planning session to look at certain aspects of creating this regeneration earth site. And what Karen said gained a lot of agreement from everybody else there. And it went something like this, and she'll correct me if I get it too terribly wrong, but it went something like this, that foundational for people's education. So think of education as a drawing forth, right? A coming out. She was saying that what's really imperative for that to happen and happen well is that there has to be an environment where there is something soothing, comforting, and supporting for the individual. And that when a person feels those elements and they feel a sense of belonging in the space in which they find themselves, then there's a natural expansion that happens. That was Karen's word for it. They find themselves, well, being drawn forth, expanding. And I'll use a couple of other words, finding and discovering. So when you're expanding, you're coming out of yourself, you are exploring. There's another word. You begin to explore. And if you think of every level of education, isn't that what's happening? If it's happening well, you're exploring. That little infant is exploring, first of all, their own body. They're exploring mom, and then they're beginning to explore the tactile things in the crib, and so on and so forth. That child grows a little older, and they're exploring the house and exploring outside, and then they're beginning to explore other people, relationships with those people, how they work, and so on and so forth. And then they're exploring the big wide world and culture. But it is a process of expansion and discovery and exploration. But for that process to work well, there has to be an element of a context that is nourishing and supportive and soothing. It has to have those elements. And I'm not saying those are the only elements, but I agree with Karen, and we all did, that those elements are important. And then it's important at every level that the person who's in the middle of this process of education and coming forth feels a sense of belonging in the context in which they are. And that's true at every level. So, you know, in the home and in the family, in the school, in the community, in the university. So I want to bring all this around to us here. For those of you who've been to the primal spirituality courses and to becoming a son, I hope you'd recognize some of these qualities. Like if you go to a primal spirituality course, there is a sense of something soothing, a sense of comfort, a sense of warmth, a sense of belonging. And then in that context, there's a coming forth, a discovery, and an exploring that happens. So I think those principles are at work. So as we're thinking about what we might do tonight, we thought that we would, well, explore some of these ideas together, but also look at them specifically as they relate to how we are doing here. So both at a kind of large scale level, maybe a visionary level, and then very practically. How are we doing? Like, how are we doing in creating a context that has a sense of safety, a sense of support, a sense of comfort? And by the way, the word comfort, Well, it tended to mean relaxing, you know, on the couch is what it kind of brings up. But the root of it had to do with fortifying. That's that word fort in there. Fortifying or strengthening. So when we're truly comforted, we're not just brought out of our usual stress and pain. Maybe it's that, but it's actually means something more than that. In our being comforted, we're being strengthened. So we wanted to open up a conversation about all that, but the visionary part, the thoughtful part, but also the very practical level, and we can think of it at many levels, of how we are together as a community, of all the facets of this community. And I invite you to think about it in terms of how you're feeling, whether you feel a sense of belonging, a sense of context that feels like it's drawing forth your best. And then also think about your participation in reaching out to others. I think ultimately we're all involved in it all. So let me check and see if the context that I said here is clear for us to begin a conversation. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, good. So I think we'll try using this as this microphone as a talking stick that'll help make sure we can all hear. Like they say for our, just be aware of time so that we give others a chance. So here it is.
Thank you. I want to add just another piece from my perspective of what we've been considering, because of the mention of soothing and comforting and drawing forth. There has been a lot of education based on shaming people. If you don't do it right, you get shamed. And Sherry was saying today at dinner, she said, someone told me I had to tell a guest that they couldn't go into the dining room without shoes on. And she was really feeling stressed about having to address that with this person, and just asked us all as community members how she could do it in a way that wasn't shaming the person. And Gary just said, it's a health code violation. It's not personal. And there's just a way of allowing people to feel the comfort of, oh, it just makes sense, which is so different than feeling uncomfortable because you had to say something. And the person can feel supported and understood. And yeah, it feels great not to have your shoes on, but it's a violation, and we're just being taking care of the whole community, and it's our community. So we all can take responsibility for doing that in a kind and loving way to the people who live here and to the people who are our guests.
Yeah, I like to bring it the area that we have here of safety, where the true being can come out. And that's power, like you said, David, and then the strength comes out. So, and it's a kind of paradox that you need safety and listening and heart space to let the strength of the being, of us, of me, come out. And but the I want to put it in the perspective of the outer world, like how education is on the moment. And that's indeed a world where shame plays a big factor. The whole test system and the parameters and the way it's used brings people in high stress levels. And I shared in the beginning circle that 40% of the university students in the Netherlands, and same numbers here in the United States, have serious thoughts of suicide, and 35% have situations wherein they are in a situation they are close to burnout, and so that tells something of the system and the missing of heart and the missing of home space and a safe haven, because that brings people in their true being and in their expansion and in their power. So, yeah, so we need, there's some work to be done, not only here, but also in the whole educational field, a change of paradigm. I worked with young people in the beginning of the 20s for several years, and we created that safe haven. And I can tell this group learned to create sacred space, what we talk here about. And they're excited about it because you feel the palpable energy when they create it, and they are moving on their own now. So there's such a big need in this world.
Safety has never really been a thing I've experienced in my life until the sunrise, or maybe in like brief moments, but I just see like steadiness in certain individuals who have just been like constantly like around in a loving way, and just in a like just an edifying way. So I don't know, what am I trying to say? I'm very thankful for like the friendships and like the family that is here, and just a lot of people like just bless my heart here and bring a lot of like comfort and joy and just perspective and consolence and down moments or whatever, and just it's been dope. I truly do feel safety in this area, in this place, and it's because of like the steady like bringing of love from you guys. So.
Well, you mentioned how do we talk about sunrise out there and how do we spread this. So I was in Hungary and on a 3-day tour, and on the bus we kept switching seats every time we stopped. And so we always were saying, well, where are you from? What do you do? Blah, blah, blah. So I talk about Sunrise Ranch all the time, you know, and it was great. And, you know, I get to talk about that I have a really creative job. I do all kinds. I love to edit, and I'm editing text and video and audio and working on the website and doing memes. I'm doing all this creative stuff. I get to play music here. So I'm really lucky. And then I came back and I was working on something really tedious, and I was like, what the hell was I talking about? But, you know, every job has its tedious moments. But I am also aware of a lot of, maybe not a lot, but a few people here who don't get to be so creative and or have a boss who isn't so, you know, allowing that creativity. And so that saddens me, and I hope we continue to work on that sort of thing.
I was thinking a lot about Courtney talking about how children, and when they're really young, they must fit into a box. And I think in that comfort, it's allowing them to be different. Whenever a child's learning how to do, like, even if they're not a child, even if it's just something new, and they see somebody else that's doing it, they think they have to do it to that standard and to that level. And it makes it really hard to be a beginner. And I'm sure that's for children as well. I'm sure it makes it really hard to have to fit in this box. So I think along the education lines where we should be able to change is making sure that they know that there's puzzle doesn't have the same pieces. You know, you need to be your own unique piece and to not try to fit into that conforming box that they have for you. So I think that's one important thing that we could change in the educational system to make people feel secure to be themselves.
The teaching art, I used to teach by the numbers, like fuzzy hair guy. I used to teach painting by the numbers because that was the audience I had. So some of the young girls we've had up here in the art studio, give them some paints, give them the materials, and it's like they were a great artist in their past or something. It's like they were born to paint. And beautiful color compositions, beautiful things. And there's a whole different kind of thing happening when they're creating art. And they feel confident in themselves doing that. They're not required to paint something like a car or a horse or something. They get into it. And some beautiful things happening. I was thinking how before anyone starts to put them in a box, what kind of, like a 4 or 5-year-old child feels really confident, assured, and in a whole different rhythm and pattern than they would be if they were in some kind of training or some kind of box.
This brought me right back to the basics of when I first came here and the first message that really hit me was when David was talking about the circle. He said, every problem in humanity begins because we aren't connected here spiritually. We don't know who we are. And it says in the Bible over and over, know ye not that ye are God, know ye not. And we are beginning to learn, and that's the exciting part about it. Even in the message that you gave on Sunday, what are kids going to get out of this? Gee, when Christmas, we're going to get to know that we are God. And when I first started this practice, it's like, okay, I know I'm God. I know that I have presence. I can sense all this. What does that mean? What does it mean to be God? And to be able to explore this aspect of us in a totally different way that, well, maybe in the same way, but it's not mind. It's not accomplishments. It's something completely nebulous about who we are. And exploring the God aspect of us and letting us find out what that is through creativity and expression and expansion and all these wonderful things that know we not that we have these capabilities. It's very exciting. And so I think that because that's what we're learning here, that that is the basis of our foundation for, basically that's a redundant basis of our foundation for teaching all these kids is who we are. You know, we are God, we are spiritual beings. So that's very exciting to me.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm not familiar with the school system here. I went to school in Finland, and I was listening how all the even grade school kids are being put in a box, and it's by numbers, and you have to do that, and if you can't, you're not good enough, and be ridiculed or whatever. I remember since third grade, we were put into little groups of five, and the teacher would give us a problem and say, here is the problem, I want you to solve it, you have an hour to do it. So that's how I grew up. So it was more like peer pressure than from the teachers, you know what I'm saying? We had like five people and five kids, and we were solving these problems. So there was math or whatever, you know. So that's how we learned, which is, I guess, slightly different from here. To talk about feeling secure and comforted, I felt it the first time when I came here and I got into the primal class, and that was very heavy, you know, that was really, really amazing. And I have been very much supported here in certain things that I have gone to different people, and I thank you very much. And I'm just learning how to live in safety and feeling okay to be myself. So thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
So my son Jacob is 9, and a lot of you know that I homeschool him. And the service on Sunday really hit home for me because the system is completely broken in this country. It's sad. The reason that I homeschool Jacob, he was actually in public school for kindergarten and first grade, and then he started attending second grade. And at the beginning of the year, I explained to the teacher, you know, I think he might have dysgraphia. He has a really hard time writing. And she's like, oh, that's okay. If he has bad penmanship, I'll just have him write everything two or three times, and he'll get better. And so, of course, right off the bat, I don't like this person. But I'm like, you know what, maybe she knows better than I do. She's been a teacher for a while, so I'll give her a chance. So over the next 2 months, as Jake was going to second grade, every day my son just got a little bit dimmer. I mean, his light just was going out, and I couldn't stand it. So I pulled him, and I'm like, I don't know how to homeschool, but we'll figure it out. We'll make it work. And so we've been homeschooling now for, we're going into our, well, second and a half year. And one of the things that I've realized is most important to a good educational foundation, besides self-expression, creativity, and actually finding what your child is interested in, is the space to process the information that they've received. Because if you're just piling one piece of information on top of another, on top of another, on top of another, and you don't give time for processing that information, it just becomes a box covered in cobwebs, stuffed in the back of their brain somewhere that they're never going to open again. And here at Sunrise, I mean, I do feel so at home here and so able to express myself and so loved and held, but I don't feel, and maybe it's just because I have a toddler, but there's not a lot of space for processing. So with the FSC course, I found that I'll do the readings and I'll do the homework, but even in responding to the homework, it's not to the depth that I would like it to be because there's not really space for me to reflect. Like, how does this affect me personally? Because as soon as I get done with the FSC homework for Monday morning, we go into Monday session, then we have T group, and then Wednesday service and service consideration, and then Sunday service. And it, since it's so full on, you know, there's not really time to integrate that reading into, like, what is this? Why is this making me feel this way? What is this saying to me on a spiritual level? It's more just like, okay, I did the homework. Now what's the next thing I got to get to? And so there's a bit of a almost a frantic feeling about it. And then it does at times feel like I'm a little burnt out. And that's just my experience. I can't talk for anybody else. I do cherish FSE so much, but that's one area where, at least for me personally, I'm trying to navigate how I find the space to really integrate the lessons and the message, because the message I feel is really beautiful, but as of right now it's like I'm getting the message and I'm filing it, I'm not really processing it to the extent that I wish that I could.
Following you, Courtney, when I was in elementary, they called me very concerned, telling me that he couldn't concentrate in the classroom and he was doing these figurines with the rubbers of the pencils, robots with whatever he could find. And they wanted to put him in drugs. And I was like, I don't think so. Why do you think that he needs drugs? He said, but he can't concentrate. And I said, how is that? When he's at home, he takes these Legos and stays with them 6 hours or what have you, or 3 days, just, you know, building whatever. Robots or what have you. So yes, for me the school is like really effed up and needs serious a new paradigm, like Ruth was saying, total new. And the goal of education should be definitely to have that soul coming to full fruition. Not to drug him or to, you know, set, you know, he cannot do robots when we're doing math and things like that. But for me, what I have learned to motherhood and teaching and what have you is that the best way to teach is definitely to be the message, to demonstrate that we are teaching. If we are wanting to demonstrate or to teach how to self be, then, you know, we need to be doing that ourselves so that we can certainly be example. If we want to teach love or whatever, how is the enjoyer and the creator, that's part of what we need to do too. The other thing that I wanted to bring is the what you were saying about frantic. It's endemic of this culture to go, 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 to, you know, work, productivity, what have you. And those are, I guess, lofty goals. But we need to stop. We need to definitely be still, be there for the other person, listen, take a pause, and stop being so hurry up about everything. Especially in education. I mean, if you're to bloom, I'm not going to give you time for that. You need to bloom now. So those are my comments.
So coming here, I think I've experienced a lot of growth in myself and a lot of opening up to trusting others and bringing in a lot more friendships into my life here, and it feels really good to be a part of this community, and I see that we all have so much potential here, And there's a lot that's growing, and it's cool to be part of this phase, or this this phase that we're all in, and it feels like it's continuously growing. So that feels really good to be a part of, and to see how we can stretch out those places that maybe need some touching up. Something that I could think about would maybe be, personally, I think it seems to just be up to whoever is living in the community to make that change for themselves, so that they can be a part of community, and just bringing your gifts, like offering whatever you want. I think that's a big part of it. It seems to offer what you can and feel that you have something to give. And if you don't feel that way, I think it's hard. And at least for me, I didn't really know how I can give at first. And now that I'm working on the farm, it's really giving me a lot of strength to feel more a part of community, and like I'm giving back in a lot of good ways.
So I hear that we're here to inspire each other, teachers to inspire. There's a spark inside of each of us. And I think it goes all the way to our personal deepest sense of destiny and purpose. That we, at whatever simple, grounded level, we are encouraging that in one another, and that's why we're here, to exercise that. And it's not just to have a goal at the end of a class that we've all stamped out. We've all come to the same point in our lives, because we're all going through different cycles. But I think to participate as a student with a sense of being inspired, a sense of bringing inspiration in my own life, and not just going to sleep and becoming a talking head, sprouting out truths that I heard 20 years ago, but to be in the excitement, to be in the excitement of what we're creating here.
Thank you, Bob. I can remember I had an aunt when I was probably 5 or 6 that made a real impression on me as a child. I used to go up to their summer home, my aunt and uncle's summer home, with my cousins, and we did a lot of things like kick the can. There were a lot of kids in this around this beautiful lake, and we did a lot of things together, 20, 30 of us at a time. And in the evenings, there'd be these beautiful bonfires. And I can remember every summer, for about 3 summers, planning ahead to sing a song in front of everybody, because I knew I was loved by my aunt and uncle, and I could hardly wait to get to sing this song. I'm thinking what you were saying, David, about the comfort of a parental, an adult surround that encouraged and drew forth. And I was so excited to be able to give that, and praised for it afterwards. I wasn't looking for it, and yet I knew it was going to come. And I'm thinking of what we have as adults to give to, whether they are children of a younger age or spiritual new people, you know, really just opening up, that ability to see that person coming forth and to really say, keep coming, come on, let's have a conversation around something, whatever it is that's important to you, and just pull that out of them. Having had that experience at a young age, I don't think I'll ever forget it. Taking the opportunity to be interested and to be loving amongst one another, to me, is so, so vital for our family growth.
I remember tonight, that first time I came to the ranch from New York City, I couldn't believe there were so many stars in the sky. It blew my mind the first time I came here in 1970. And so it's got me thinking of context, that a good teacher or a master teacher, someone who really cares about another person, offers a context. And I think that's part of what David was mentioning before, in a different way of speaking, that
There needs to be a context for everything to happen. Some things are in the foreground, some things in the background. Speaking of art, you know, there's an art to this, what we're talking about tonight. When I was teaching autistic kids, their context was music. And if the music stopped in my classroom, they would tug me on the elbow and say, and they didn't speak, none of them spoke. I worked with 8 boys who were speechless for the whole year, for 3 years, none of them spoke, but we communicated. So I had to learn what touched them and what worked. So I think a lot of Summer is Rich is all about context, getting the context right, of, so things can grow, people can mature. And I'm very thankful that, talking about my job, I still have a context. I have a place to give. But Logan, you were mentioning giving. There's still a context to give. If the person doesn't have a context, that's really feeling hopeless, I think. But if we have a context in which to give, and we can provide that, I can provide that for myself and for other people. So I'm thankful for the reminder of that tonight. The context is really important.
So my favorite workshop, one of my favorite workshops, was the one on blessing and understanding. And I feel like it's just a strong foundation for just the context of where our world is right now, because so many people just feel isolated and misunderstood and shamed, just like the education system, but also just like maybe any community or any body of people. And I know in my experience, and I know through, I appreciate our workshops so much. I feel like they're so beautiful and they're so powerful, and you can just see people just glowing and transforming, and that's my favorite thing to see here, is to see that growth. But there's also a saying that says, a person who's appreciated will always do more than what's expected. And I really believe that's true, and I believe that feeling safe enough to express just what's going on, even if somebody doesn't understand, just to hold that space and just to listen and just to make that person feel valued. And just for me also, you know, I'm in a new situation. I have a new boss and I'm working with Abby. She's awesome. And Erica, you're awesome too when I see you. And she's very understanding and encouraging, and she's always telling us, you know, what we're doing right. And it's a lot more, it's for me, it's a lot more inspirational. I want to work harder when I'm told what's right, you know, what I am doing right, what I am bringing. And I know I'm not the only one. People kind of light up, you know, when they get praised, you know, just those little sparks of, hey, you're doing something, you're bringing something. And also just being in that environment where you feel safe to say what's in your heart, to say what your truth is. And just to have it helped, or just to be listened to, because I also feel like sometimes we just, you know, we all have our stuff and we all have our intense cycles, but when there's nobody that you feel like you can talk to or open up to or whatever, you don't feel understood, then a person shuts down inside. And then it's almost like, you know, where's that inspiration? Why am I doing this? You know? So I feel like that blessing and understanding, I seriously think that if we could just offer one workshop out to the world, I feel like it would just open up everything globally, just that one workshop. Because when people feel blessed and understood, and just seeing in that those workshops, I mean, that's everything. And they open up and they feel like, okay, hey, I can be creative, I can expand, this is cool, I'm safe, you know, other people see me, you know, whatever. And then also I agree that I feel like doing one's inner work is extremely important. Because we can, work is important, of course, because we have to serve and we put love into what we do. And then at the same time, too, in doing our own inner work, we are clearing out the distortions, the way that we see other people, or maybe the way that we behave in ways that may be hurtful or unloving to other people. And that's our mission, is to see other people and to bring that love and to bring that understanding and to invite people to come forth and be a son. And So I think it's really important too to also go within and do inner work if we need to do that, not get tied up in it, but make sure there's that, also that balance, so that we can be a living example of what we talk about. So that those are my thoughts on this.
I know I'm probably taking it away from someone who wants it down there, but wanted to mention that I was in an academic setting for 7 years in university, and when I offered something creative, it wasn't always reinforced. In fact, quite often it was totally ignored or was actually opposed. And I was remembering a class that I took at Princeton Seminary. I majored in preaching at Princeton. Probably some of you guessed that already. But in this preaching class, the final of the class consisted of preaching a sermon to the class. And the way we were required to do it, we had to write out our sermons word for word beforehand, and then preach the sermon word for word to the class. Well, I came up with an idea that I called conversational preaching. So what I dared to do was depart from the text in that class. And it was just, the audience ate it up, except for the professors and the chancellor of the university who happened to be there as well. And they severely reprimanded me after the class, and my grade was downgraded accordingly. So that's the kind of academic environment that I had to face at Princeton. But here, well, I can practically say anything. As some of you probably noticed, I can get away with it. Well, I suppose there are limits, but I feel so supported, so nourished, when at times I've been out there on the edge, and yet I've still felt encouraged to bring forth my innate creativity. So this to me is what Sunrise Ranch is all about. It offers that context where your creativity is supported, is nourished, is soothed, is comforted. It's just, it's a context where you can practically just go out on a limb. And so, wow, I'm glad I'm here for that reason.
Thank you, Jerry. Well, there was a lot of inspirations as everyone was talking that came to my mind, but just the idea of, like, I know for myself that I am the student every day and I am a teacher every day. And just the idea about, like, what we're doing at the ranch and education, because that's kind of what I feel like was the seed planted, is that I have learned a lot. And even though I haven't been in the classroom, because this whole valley is the classroom and we get to teach one another no matter what. And so it doesn't matter how you get the education, and the context that we're talking about is love. So I know that I have it, and I share, and I'll come to the classes when I do, and you can share with me and teach me in that way, because if you got the goods, I want it, and I'll share with you. But yeah, it has been a very amazing learning experience being here, and everything that I've done this whole year, I've never done in my life. Without guidance. I mean, Phyllis was my guiding light, and all of you. But yeah, Googled how to use an edger and weed whacker and all that jazz. I think I would be a pro. No, I went to massage school. But no, it's been an amazing learning experience. And we don't have to have a classroom, and there doesn't have to be a teacher. You are all teachers, and we are all students, and it's a constant learning process. And I guess that's another thing that I wanted to share. It's like, there's all sorts of ages here. And it's like, all I hear is like, I'm now starting to learn. That's what my mom would tell me. Wow, you're lucky, Leanne, you're only 20 something. I'm 60 and I'm just now figuring out what I want to do. So it's like just chapters upon chapters in this book. So thank you for being a part of this chapter.
Beautiful, thank you.
We're talking about education and going back as far as I can. I think the first thing I ever learned was a Dick and Jane book, and it was stop, look, and listen. And honestly, that's where I'm at right now too. I think if I can learn to stop, like the madness that you're mentioning, Anna, the kind of craziness, the claustrophobia of trying to make a decision too fast, and look at the other person, at another person in the community, and actually listen to them, I think they'll be safe to cross the road.
Really appreciate this, the attention on context and how to create a surrounding where true learning and growth can happen, where a person feels safe enough to let something express through that's new, because all learning and growth is new, and it can be scary. But I'm also thinking about content, like what is it that's being taught inside of the container? And two things that are coming up for me. One is a focus on principles, like character qualities and essences of character that we express. So, for example, like honesty and compassion and goodwill. These are just like principles of being that I don't think they have a lot of attention on that kind of stuff in the major structures of education. And then also fundamental truths that are foundational that can be built upon, like all of life is connected. It's such a simple thought, and yet there's so many other truths that are built out of that one foundational truth, that one principle, that when there's a strong foundation, it's amazing what can be built. But when the foundation isn't strong, you know, you build a house, you build your life, and then at some point everything crumbles away. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people having that breakdown, which can lead to a breakthrough, but it's still a difficult experience from a foundation that's not that steady, which is what the major systems provide. Something else I'm thinking about is empowering inner authority. Courtney spoke about how today's education system was developed in a way to produce factory workers. People just stay in their box and do what they're told. And that doesn't really bring forth creativity and all the natural gifts that we have as beings. But to have that context where we're safe enough to show up with our own understandings of what's right and true and what we're here to bring, that's something that I think is sometimes crushed with the idea of you have to do it this way, you know, because, well, we do things a certain way and then we have the examples of the world from doing that. If we just keep doing what we've always done, we'll just keep getting more of what we've already had. So we have to have these new things coming from somewhere. And I think it always comes from within. And the new generations aren't programmed and conditioned yet enough to believe that there's only one way to do something. So if we teach them a strong foundation and then really give the space and invite forth them to come forth with their own inner knowing and inner authority, then that's the setting for a new earth, a new paradigm to be born into form in our world.
Thank you, Gary. I'm reflecting how in our culture today, teachers are undervalued. Working on Wall Street and making all kinds of money on the stock market, it sounds pretty appealing, and people who do that get applauded for doing it. And yet somehow we don't value teachers as much as some cultures have. For instance, in China, if you're a teacher, at least it used to be, that you were looked at very highly, highly esteemed if you were a teacher. So I'm thinking about the process of, or the function of holding context. So it could be for a family, or it could be for a community, or it could be as a teacher in an educational setting. And I think about that here at Sunrise Ranch and the vital nature of it. Because if we don't have people who do that, if we don't do it as a community, I was thinking about how there's an energetic to it and it transcends any role that we might have. So we're not all teachers here. Yet we all have an opportunity to hold the context, to hold the space for others and give people a sense of belonging. So I was thinking about this as Leanne was speaking. And I want you to raise your hand if you have had the experience of feeling at home and welcomed and having had a sense of belonging at Sunrise Ranch because you passed Leanne on the walk and she said hello to you. Anybody else have that experience? It is remarkable what one person can do. And as far as I know, nobody gave Leanne that job. I don't think it's on her job description.
There wasn't that option.
It's an energetic, actually. If you think about it, she probably conveys it to her voice or something in the words she chooses. But anyway, it is an energetic. And we all have that opportunity to reach out to others and just build the bonds of the context that we're in and to welcome other people into that context, to welcome them home, to make them feel at home, to give them a sense of context and belonging. Now, I'm supposed to be the spiritual director around here, but, you know, here's this person who's been here for however long, like a year or two or something.
1 year.
Like, she's doing that for me.
But we gotta do it for each other.
That's right. That's my point. That it's irrespective of a lot of the things that are in our minds that limit us, that make us think, oh, it's not mine to do. I think sometimes we think of women as, well, they're the ones responsible for home. And I acknowledge that women have a special power to create a sense of home, it seems to me, in my experience, a sense of context. And yet, when men do it, for one thing, do you think it's supportive of women to do it, if men do it? If there's a way that if men pitch in, you know, it's actually supportive of women doing it, too. I was hearing some pretty fantastic figures on the number of families that are there without a father, so single parent. I think there's a lack of valuing of bringing of home on the part of men. I think that's fair to say in general, that men don't see the opportunity that they have. And then generally speaking, you know, with the rise of feminism, one of the things of that has been a diminishing of the significance and the power of what the woman's bringing in the home. And of course, the same is true for men, like the man's role to be father, to create home. So all those things, I think, come into play, certainly in education, in holding an educational setting. I taught second graders for 2 years. Those are 7 and 8 year olds. And I remember my first day walking into the class, I had 36 children, and the kids pretty well literally pointed at me. They go, "Look, it's a man." Because men don't usually teach the lower grades, at least they didn't know that.
I just wanted a special mention of whenever you said that, Dennis creates a very homey feel for me in the kitchen. And I want, and he's not here right now, but he definitely creates something that makes me want to work.
You know, it's good to set, we probably should have taken aside time to just celebrate people here who create home in whatever way that they do. It is an energy, and I feel it being evoked in this time here together. Whatever else it is an energy. And when we tap into it, we're tapping into, actually, it's a universal field. It's a human thing, but it's a universal field thing, too. It's the connecting fabric of all of creation. We're connecting into that and feeling our part in it, passing that on, and creating that for each other.
I just want to add one piece because it came up earlier. You can do this, provide a sense of home and support, and be busy. But a lot of people feel when they're busy, they can't do it, because they just don't have time. I think it's a learn. I mean, for one thing, we just talked about Leanne. Has anybody not seen Leanne busy? But she never loses her sense of holding the space. And I just, I know when Anna was saying stop, and Adam's comment about stop, look and listen. You can be busy and full of things to do and still maintain that experience of home and support and seeing the people you're doing this with.
Yeah, called the art of living, right?
Yeah.
The art of living. The art of living to master that, you know, to master just being in your life and creating. And as Jane is saying, being active, but not losing track of keeping that love and feeling going, you know, just keeping the fabric of home and community, of the context that we're creating, keeping that going. I suppose it comes into play in the summer, you know, when there's all kinds of things to be done, you know, weeds to be pulled and meals to be cooked, dishes to be done, and internet lines down and all the rest. And so we're, you know, we face those challenges, and it's that time of year. And then the art of living is, yeah, okay, so I stop when I need to reset, reattune, and then I find a way to keep going and keep my balance so that at the same time I'm creating, I'm keeping the fabric going.
If you don't maintain that, I don't care what you're doing, it's not going to work. I think it's really important to realize you can be really busy and get the job done, but if you don't maintain the atmosphere, it's not working.
Good night.